Hello and welcome to another telehealth podcast. I'm your host, Mike Patterson, and today we have a couple of gentlemen from the Wheeler Group. Let's start with Jim Heumann. Jim, if you could tell us a little bit about yourself and what's going on, we'd like to hear from you.
Will do. So again, my name is Jim Heumann. I work with Steve Wheeler and the Wheeler Group. And I've been, Mike, like you, involved in technology for way too long. Started out with an Apple IIe, if that dates me.
Yeah, it also dates myself.
Got interested in computers, wanted to be a jazz guitar player. That didn't work out, so God gave me a gift somehow with computers, and I've been in technology ever since. Got involved with, I guess the new acronym is IoT, Internet of Things. It used to be called Machine to Machine, and worked a long time with Verizon Wireless Healthcare. They had a healthcare division of about 1,200 folks. Got interested in remote patient monitoring because at the beginning with CHF patients. And, you know, a couple personal stories, if that's okay.
Sure.
My mother, 11 years ago, died of CHF. Her physician was my cousin. And cousin Robert basically said, you know, Marianne, write down your weight every day. Let me know if you gain 2 pounds and I'll intervene. She'd write down her weight, but didn't want to tell him if she gained weight or not. Didn't want to tell anybody. And she'd wait too long, couldn't breathe real well. She'd end up in the hospital, nursing home, back to the hospital, back home. And we did that for about 10 years. During this time, when I was with Verizon, I met Steve Wheeler's on the phone. I'll let him tell his story. You know, he had a scale that basically it was simple technology, a lot behind it, but where, you know, CHF patient could weigh on the scale. The data was sent to the provider immediately. If they gained 2 pounds or whatever that threshold would be, whatever they set, then they could, the provider would reach out to the patient, prescribe them Lasix, keep them out of the hospital.
I have a question, Jim, yeah. Sorry to interrupt you, but prior to the technology, when they were writing it down by hand, how accurate was the data and how consistent was it?
Never was accurate and very inconsistent. Gotcha. And a lot of people went in the hospital and out of the hospital. And when Medicare paid for that, that was one thing. But I think it was 2012 where Medicare changed the rules and said, you know, if you come back within a 30-day period, we're not paying the bill.
That's right.
So I thought, you know, with this type of technology, this is a simple thing. And Steve and I, Steve was a partner with Verizon Wireless working with the company, and I'll let him tell you about that. And that is how I got into remote patient monitoring. So when I say I worked for Verizon Wireless, a lot of people think I'm a cell phone guy. My kids know more about cell phones than me. You know, purely with technology and embedding that technology to move data from point A to point B. But that point A was usually a blood pressure cup, weight scale, or in this case, a blood glucose meter. I've done a lot of training on end user programs, anywhere from PowerPoint to Excel to customized training. All my life, I've been involved in some kind of training organization and really love to teach. And so if anybody's got any questions, or Beck, if you got any questions, throw them at me and I'll try to answer. And with that, I'll turn it over to Steve, and then we'll tell you why we're going to talk about iGlucose and our diabetes management solution.
Well, thank you for having us. And my name is Steve Wheeler, and I started a consulting company around healthcare technology quite some years ago. And it happened when I actually sold a technology company, had some money, made an investment into a healthcare IT company that failed about 20 years ago, and went to one of the board members who was a doctor at UCLA, and he said, "Welcome to healthcare. It's not a normal business. It's good ideas always don't work." And he said, "If I was you, I would focus on, if you want to stay in healthcare, on individual patients trying to improve their outcomes and lower the cost of care." And I found he introduced me to telehealth. He was probably the grandfather of telehealth, doing it as far back as the late 70s. And so I found a company that was doing telehealth, specifically to a niche around wound care, and I helped launch them in California into the managed care market, which was their niche. And one of my big clients introduced me to a remote patient monitoring company they had found, and it happened to be the first wireless remote patient monitoring company. For those of you that want to know the history, the remote monitoring goes back to the 80s, back when home health started using it with wired devices that, you know, came up through a modem and were complicated and expensive, but it was all about reducing the number of visits you had to make to a home with the intention of reducing rehospitalizations, because home care gets paid and still does episodically on 60-day windows by Medicare of care. And if someone goes back to the hospital, they'd lose their reimbursement. And they were just trying to do reduction of labor of going to the home. And so I saw this wireless company and helped launch them across the country and around the world. That's where I met Jim, because we became Verizon's first machine-to-machine healthcare client, embedding cell chips in a gateway into the home in a dedicated gateway. So all the wireless Bluetooth devices that were coming out could automatically upload data to the cloud. And that was sort of my introduction. We implemented, it started with Medicare Advantage programs, still using it today, 15 years later, although it's evolved and continues to improve. We found probably the biggest problem in all of our remote patient monitoring programs over the years was getting a return on investment or engaging people with diabetes. It always starts most easily with heart failure, like Jim described. Easy to get a change in weight and blood pressure to try to head off hospital readmissions. But diabetes was always a challenge. So we spent a lot of time the last few years in diabetes, and met Smart Meter, who has a tremendous product that Jim will show you, which is a cellular-enabled blood glucose meter. And we found that, you know, one of the biggest challenges in remote patient monitoring is patient engagement, getting them to use it, ease of use, especially in the Medicare population where the reimbursement is. The easier it is for a patient to use a system, the more compliant you're going to get and the better results you're going to get. So we're excited by showing you Smart Meter's iGlucose cellular device and how it fits into any remote patient monitoring program, but especially around people with diabetes.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm excited that you guys are here, because you you know the evolution of telehealth, and I'm sure you have lots of war stories, as a few of us do that have been around.
That's right. I actually was one of the first exhibitors at Matrix long ago. So, yes, an implementation. The technology is the easiest part of it, to be honest. And
yes, it is.
Implementation and workflow is the biggest challenge.
So. Yes, absolutely. Tell us what some of the use cases you're addressing. I know it's diabetes and you have a product.
Okay. So a lot's happening out in the RPM world, and Becky, you'd be interested. The technology, like I said, you know, Steve said it's been there. It's been there for a while, but CMS started reimbursing for the actual workload and created some new codes for reimbursement specific to RPM last January, and just released another code this January. And so a lot of people are starting to get involved, which we're glad. Outcomes are getting better. To Steve's point, it's always workflow. How do we integrate this into our business? Now, we're talking about diabetes today specifically. Full disclosure, I'm an insulin-dependent type 2 diabetic. Been that way for, it's been 25 years now. And how that happened, I trained at the University of Tennessee continuing education and computer software for 11 years. I found myself getting really tired, unusually tired. So I started taking a lot of vitamins, eating a lot of oatmeal, a lot of high carb foods. We actually made bread and fresh ground wheat and thought I was being real healthy. And I just get more tired, more tired. My mother was a diabetic. She said, let me check your blood sugar. And it came up 376.
Wow.
Had no idea. So went to the doctor and he said, yep, you've got sugar in your urine. I was like, what's that? And there we go. And I started on the standard regimen of metformin and then graduated to, you know, different oral drugs and then started taking insulin back in 1999, approximately. So this is very personal to me. Technology is very personal to me. So merging the two and being able to help people, that's a real passion of mine.
I'm excited to hear your perspective because you're living it.
I am living it. And this is the best solution I've seen. And I'll tell you why. So is it okay if I just get into a quick presentation?
Absolutely.
So remote patient monitoring is basically getting data from one point, which is a patient, to a medical device back to a provider so that they can triage that particular situation. Might be insulin, it might be blood pressure, it might be cardiac monitors, which seem to be more prevalent out there. There hadn't been a great solution for diabetes, and there's a couple of reasons why. The biggest reasons are it's technology. So Bluetooth, was new. I guess, Steve, yeah, I can't remember what your first product was, but there were pods in the house and you could pair the glucometer with a Bluetooth pod or, you know, smartphones evolved. You could pair it with a smartphone, but it required the patient to basically open an app, usually just hit one button, take their blood sugar, and then it would upload the results and the provider would have them. As simple as that was, it didn't happen. So still today, I find that providers that are using that type of technology, they're reaching out to the patient and saying, hey, can you open your app and go ahead and upload your results? As simple as it is, they have to call them again. Some people just don't do it. A lot of people get lost in the process, get on the wrong screen, get frustrated. And so the data is not getting uploaded. Wi-Fi connectivity has been another technology that's here or there. And you know how I was just worried about my Wi-Fi just a second ago. If it goes down, then this podcast is going to be over, right?
So, we all live in that arena, don't we?
Yeah. Hubs, cables, smartphones, were the answer. They are simple, but a lot of people that, especially in the rural areas that I work, don't have a smartphone. So with our solution, we believe it's a game changer because it's a simple meter, which you see over on the left-hand side. Mm-hmm. The only difference on this meter is that the strip goes in sideways. And I know people, you know, that's not a big deal, but anybody that has diabetes, if they get a meter, 100% of the time, the strip goes up and down. That's the first mistake people will make with this meter. The second thing is it does have a cell chip in it that automatically uploads the data to a HIPAA secure cloud and then down to the provider. So since it's cellular, the meter needs to be charged before the visit. Now, I find my meter, if I turn it on and off with a full charge, it'll last a month. If I keep it on all the time, it's about 10 days. But it stores regardless 500 readings. It's cellular, so the patient doesn't do anything different, and that's why it works. They take their blood sugar, it goes to the provider. It's pretty much that simple. There's no pairing. There's no smartphone they have to have. And the meter itself, to providers, we only charge $28.50 for the meter. So it's very inexpensive. The strips are $14.
That's a one-time cost?
One-time cost.
Okay.
For the meter. The strips are $14.50. And that includes the cellular plan, because a lot of people say, well, we don't want a monthly cellular plan. We don't want, you know, to pay for websites and all that kind of stuff. We don't charge for any of that. We just sell the strips and everything is baked in. So the patient or the provider pay $14.50 for, 50 strips. Now,
right. So to be clear on that, Jim, just for our listeners. So it's a one-time fee of $28 and then $14.50 per month, I'm assuming, gives you 50 strips.
$14.50 for 50 strips. Now, if you're testing three times a day, you're going to be paying, $29. Okay. And that is to the provider directly. That's wholesale.
Okay.
is generally who we're selling to. We do have retail prices on our website, but we don't have a lot of people going there. It's usually through the provider. You know, some people say, well, that, you know, that might be expensive. It's actually, I mean, when I had at one point in time Blue Cross Blue Shield, I was using a one-touch ultrameter, which was very popular at the time. My copay every month was $40.
Right.
Even after insurance. So even if you were testing three times a day, you know, $29 a month is very fair, and everything is included in it. There's no more cost. $28.50 for the meter, $14.50 for strips. If you're testing one time a day, that's all you're going to be paying. So we've got a very simple, scalable RPM platform, which includes the meter, which you see over on the left. It has a virtual care coach. So as data comes in, somebody tests their blood sugar, the data comes in and the system itself can send alerts to the patient saying, hey, your blood sugar is too high. You might call your provider. It can send a message. The best message I get is it's time to take your blood sugar. Mm. And that can all be set up as soon as you're enrolled into the program. If you're normally setting it, testing at 8 o'clock in the morning, fasting blood sugar, and, you know, 10 o'clock at night, it will send you a reminder to go ahead and do that. I found that to be the most valuable message that I get. Mm. There's a lot of other messages you can get. You can get overwhelmed with that. So I just kind of keep it to that. Each patient has their own diabetes care portal where they can see charts and graphs of their own. If their doctor says, you know, what's your average blood sugar, it's going to show you that. But the beauty of this whole program is patients never have to see, get on a computer and look at their own data. They never have to do anything. It's going to go to the provider regardless every single time. So that's the beauty of it. Patient takes their blood sugar, provider sees it pretty much in real time.
I know providers have had a hard time getting that data before the patient comes in for their appointments.
Yeah. And so believe it or not, the way it's done is 90% of the people I talk to that are checking blood sugar for their patients, the patient fills out a logbook, you know, every time they take their blood sugar and fills in the number and the date and the time and so forth, and then brings their logbook in. And the provider looks at it, and that's how they make a decision on what kind of drugs to try to take, you know, to that particular patient, and which is unbelievable. Now, I can tell you from a personal standpoint, funny story and not funny story, but my doctor said engineers make great diabetics because they're very organized and very methodical. And he said, Jim, you're not an engineer. And so I'm one of these guys that, you know, I forget my logbook. I didn't write things down in my logbook. So the only thing my doctor got from me back then was, how's your blood sugar doing? I say, well, some days good, some days bad. Well, what's your average? Well, you know, maybe 150, 160, I'm not really sure. And so the only real thing that he had to go on was taking a quarterly A1C test to see, you know, what my average numbers were. So the value here is the doctor gets to see real data. And that simple quote from an endocrinologist I got a couple of months ago, he said, all I've ever wanted is real data from my patients before they walk in the door. If I get that, then I'm good.
Gotcha. I'm actually thinking of a person in my family that uses logbooks, and very similar to your story with logbooks.
Yeah. And, you know, we should write all our numbers down, but if we don't have to, just from a consumer standpoint, if you weren't hooked up to a provider and they weren't monitoring you, I would buy this just to not have to write anything down in the logbook.
Exactly.
You know, we do have open APIs, and that can get back into your space, Mike. But that simply means for everybody else that we can quickly integrate our RPM platform to another RPM platform or an EMR, whatever that might be, once we get the tech folks together.
Gotcha. And you integrate into most EHRs?
We can. We're only integrated into a few right now because, quite honestly, since the code just came out last year, we've got a lot of pilots going. We've got some large, some small, but generally the case is people will try the meters, make sure they can bill CMS, make sure they get reimbursed, and then start scaling up slowly. And that's where the workflow issues come in. You know, we need to hire an extra CDE. We need to hire an extra nurse practitioner to just monitor patients.
Now, I would assume if you did have to integrate, that's going to be a separate cost to integrate into a provider's EHR for like hours and tech support. And
well, with every other company I've worked for, it always is. With this company, we've never charged anybody. It's everybody else I've ever worked for, it's usually, you know, $2,500, $5,000 easy for that time. And, you know, with the bigger EMRs, it's now they might charge you on their side, but we don't charge a thing. It's all open.
So EHR integration, and obviously I've got to ask you about HIPAA and security.
So all our data is housed on HIPAA secure servers with AWS, Amazon Web Servers. Mm-hmm. The data is physically in Virginia. Because, and I just had to find that out the other day because somebody was concerned about that. Nobody wants PHI outside of this country. The data transmission secure, so it's obviously FDA approved. So we jumped through all those whistles. The company was founded back in 2012, so it's been around for a while, and so they've had to jump through all the hoops to do it the right way. So yes,
very gotcha. Good. And to implement, I would. It sounds like for the user, it's like pull it out of the box and start using it. And it sounds like the integration wouldn't be, for most providers, wouldn't be that big a deal.
That is true. User can pull it out of the box. As a best practice, what we found out is that if the provider sent 10 boxes out to patients and said, you know, here's your new meter, read the instructions and, enroll yourself, maybe a couple would do it. So what we found is the best practice is when the patient comes in to see the clinician, you know, for an A1C or regular visit, then the provider will say, here's your new meter, let me enroll you. And they'll actually get on the website and enroll the serial number and their demographic information and get them enrolled. And that process takes about 3 minutes. Okay. But then it's done, they'll take one blood sugar sample right then to make sure it goes to the portal and then send them out the door. Now, the good news about that, yeah, it's very, very simple. But before, that was an office visit, but now that's considered a training session on the particular hardware, which you can now get reimbursed for.
Excellent.
I'll get into that here in a second.
And so what kind of support do you all provide?
Good question. A lot of support is me.
Okay.
I've been, you know, in the technical world, the software for a long time, so I do a lot of the training to the clinicians, a lot of the support. And then we've got developers on our back end that make changes to the portal as things come up. We have, you know, providers say, hey, can you add this report? Can you add that report? And we put it in the queue and we can do that. But a lot of it's me. Now, from an end user patient standpoint,
right,
which is very unusual, we have an 800 number where somebody, a real person in Tampa, Florida, answers the phone. Which is amazing. So, you know, if they're just having problems, basic problems with the meter, and there's really hardly anything that goes wrong, except maybe the battery's not seated correctly, things like that. But the patient can call that 800 number and always get somebody to answer the phone.
Gotcha. And if the meter was defective, for example, they would just ship it back, get a new one on the way, or?
We'll just ship them a new meter.
Yeah.
And it's happened to, since I've been with the company, which has been about, I think, 9 months with this company right now, I've had that happen one time.
So that sounds pretty straightforward.
Yeah, it's we try to make everything easy, you know, because if it's not, it just doesn't work. You know, I was talking from a training standpoint. I've been involved in a lot of projects, and the little thing I told you about, let's put the strip in sideways and let's charge the meter, that takes off 90% of the problems that we run into. So just little tips to clinicians. Train the trainer programs, we do that. And we've learned, you know, sometimes the hard way, we need to add this little tip in there. And it might be, you know, talking about 2 or 3 minutes worth of things. And that's makes the program successful.
No, that's excellent. Thank you for pointing that out, because, you know, I often talk about telehealth being that it can be a disruptive technology if not implemented properly. But I would also argue that any technology, any medical technology can be disruptive. And this sounds like if I were the patient, I could walk into my provider, you know, and, you know, I'm up and running and happier after I leave than I am the next time I come in because I don't have my logbook filled out.
Yeah.
And, and plus I'm getting alerts saying, hey, you know, whatever, you know, it's time to take your blood sugar.
It's you just pointed out two great things. That no more logbook, no more, and then being reminded to take your blood sugar, which, you know, that's really handy for me. You know, if it's 10:30 at night and I'm watching TV or something, I'm a usually late night person. Getting that alert, I'll have to stand up and go take my blood sugar, or not. At least I have to make that decision.
You know, and I don't know how often the provider appointments would be, but I would think the provider has a dashboard available. Maybe a nurse or the provider or all of the above is scrolling through there. Does your dashboard have like a Christmas tree lights, like green, yellow, red? And so the provider can look the next morning and go, oh, I've got a couple yellows. Well, they haven't taken their blood sugar. Or, oh, I've got three or four reds. We need to get on the horn and find out what's going on with them.
Kind of, sort of.
Okay.
I'll show it to you. It does give you the same, but I don't have green, red, and yellow. But it basically, we can quickly click a button and say who's high, who's been high, and who's low. And I'll show you that here in just a second.
Okay.
So this might be interested to Becky, and it's really interesting to everybody. And, you know, Mike, as many people as I talk to, I would say 75% of them aren't even aware of these codes. You know, they're doing the same thing the same way, and now they can get reimbursed for using this type of technology and giving, you know, better outcomes for their patients. And I've got some stats I'll show you to
prove. Yeah, that's quite interesting. Even people that are in the remote patient monitoring business?
Now, if they're in the business, they know
it. They know it. Okay. Yeah, that's what I would think.
But the providers and just small doctor's offices, hospitals, if you get a group of people in the room and ask the question, how many of y'all do know about the new remote patient monitoring CPT codes? Out of 100 people, you might have 8 or 9 people raise their hand.
Actually, that makes sense. Providers are busy.
Yeah, they're busy doing what they've always been doing.
And so this is kind of cool. I don't want to belabor it because you've done an excellent job, but all of a sudden as a provider, the provider's offering a service to their patients, which makes it easier and better for the patient so that everyone's having a better experience. The provider is on top of monitoring so they can maybe head something off, but even before the next appointment, and they can also bill for it.
Yes. It's win-win all the way across the board. And I won't get into ROI spreadsheets, but I've had providers build it, and it can actually give quite an increase to the revenue of the provider.
I would think so.
While taking better care of the patients. So, and just real quick on that point, people with diabetes, and this is a general trend, the week before they go see their doctor, they do pretty well because they know they're going to see their doctor and they'd like to report some decent scores. 2 weeks after they see their doctor, they do real well because the doctor beat up on them and said, you need to eat better, exercise, and so forth. Then they tend to slide back into their own habits and start going downhill. So one of the, you know, the technology is great, but if you have somebody reaching out to you every week just for a couple minutes saying, hey, you're not taking your blood sugar enough, can you try it twice a day? Or, hey, great job taking your blood sugar. Hey, your numbers are coming down. Great job. Just that encouragement. Anybody that's in diabetes education knows that that really helps, but everybody doesn't go to a diabetes education class every week. You know, they'll go, oh, they don't even go once a year. They usually go and that's it. So that's the accountability and the encouragement that comes from the clinician that is really driving the results. So these codes, I'll quickly go over them. 99453, $21 one time for you showing the patient how to use the meter. Now, as a best practice, we ask the clinicians to go ahead and charge the meter up before the patient comes in. Again, show them how to put the strip in. Mm-hmm. Since I've been in training, I'll say, you know, do you understand? And they always shake their head yes. And I'll say, great, I'm turning it off. You turn it back on and do it yourself.
Gotcha.
And take your blood sugar and we'll see if and get you enrolled. So they get reimbursed for that now, in addition to the normal office visit. 99454 is daily data transmission. So when the patients are taking their blood sugar and the system is receiving those results and then having programmed alerts going back to the patient, you can now bill the average is $69 a month. It varies state by state, but we found that to be the average. That's per patient, per month. Then 457, $54 a month. And this is the most important code because this is individual patient management where you're looking at a patient's data 20 minutes a month. And our software has a clock that basically when you're looking at a patient individually and looking at the results, the clock is running. And so a lot of providers will say that this is an eye glucose day. And on Friday or whatever day they pick, they'll spend 5 minutes with each patient, reaching out to them. Sometimes they give them a call, leave a voicemail, send them a text message, send them an email. You know, whatever that interaction is, that's what makes it successful. There's a new code that I don't have on here. It's 99458. And it gives you an additional 20 minutes per month for those patients that require more time, which we're finding for our higher risk patients with A1Cs over 9, our CDs are saying they need more than 20 minutes a month to take care of them. So they're getting paid for that now.
And how much do they get paid?
The reimbursement is $54 for the first 20 minutes.
Right.
And an additional $54 for the next 20 minutes. On average, again, it's a little bit different every. Mm-hmm. So in the first 30 days, you're going to quickly find out, you know, who's out of range, who's over 200, who's got critical highs, who's got critical lows, who's testing, who's not testing. Actually, you'll find that out a whole lot quicker than 30 days. We've been really surprised to find out how many people are going low, which is very dangerous, and not, you know, telling their doctor what's happening, or they don't even exactly know how low they're getting. Had a CDE, a certified diabetes educator, tell me the other day that a lady said her average blood sugar in the morning was usually 120, 130, but her A1C was 10.5. It just didn't match up. So this is going to let you know in real time what the real story is. Besides that, just the quality measures that the ACOs have, HEDIS, MIPS scores, very soon, and I've got one endocrinologist I'm working with, that they're very aware that information is going to be very public. You can find it out there, but pretty soon, if you're looking for an endocrinologist, you can have a list of them, and it's going to say this particular practice, their average A1C scores, are 21, their population of A1C scores over 9% or 21%. This other practice is 40%. So obviously the consumer is going to want to go to the one that's taking better care of their patients.
Sure.
As that information becomes public, then this becomes obviously much more important. So RPM studies, and I've got case studies. Mike, I don't know how you want me to do this because I can send them to you. You can post them on the website.
That would be awesome.
Okay. And that way people can read, you know, they're 2 or 3 pages long. My attention span is about 30 seconds.
So I've got through a good company.
But, you know, really 3 or 4 lines down, 70% of high-risk patients over 9 with an A1C over 9 were able to lower their A1C by 2.8 points in 90 days.
That's impressive.
It's huge because there's a value, a dollar value attached just from cost. Each digit you can lower in your A1C. And also, there's a huge bell curve that an endocrinologist will show you to scare you, where if you can keep it below 7, which is their goal, then it's not a big bell curve. When you go 7, 8, 9, 10, that curve gets pretty sharp, and that's where people start having serious problems, which obviously cost a lot of money, cost many
right.
A lot of money. And then 80% of the patients required intervention between visits. So, you know, they get highs and lows, and the nurse is reaching out to them and trying to help them at that particular point. 90% of the patients had a 30% reduction in average blood glucose levels by the end of the study. And I've seen this across the board with everybody I've worked to, if they've got their clinicians doing those 20-minute sessions every single month. And that is the skinny story on this. If you'd like me to, I can go ahead and give you a quick demo of the portal. It's real simple, number one. So every provider is just going to go to a regular website, Smart Meter Corporation, or you can type iGlucose.com. Takes you to the same place. There's a personal portal and a population portal. So what we're talking about is population management in this particular case. I'm going to click on population management. Each provider will have their own portal, their own personal portal with their own patients. And we set that up, do all the back end, everything's free. Again, there's no cost associated to it. After they log in, they can add their clinicians, they can add their doctors. You can assign multiple patients to one clinician. You can assign multiple clinicians to one patient. It's very, very flexible in how you want to do that. And then quickly on the dashboard, like you can see here, and even for the people that can't see it, one of the first things you want to see is, you know, who has been above range and who's been below range. Mm-hmm. And so we got a graph here, kind of going back to your question about red, green, blue, and whatever other color you were talking about.
Right.
I'll click on, we've got five people in this database that's above range. Now I have test meters in here. I've got real patients. So I'm going to click on five. And it quickly, that quick, pulls the information out of the database and says these people have been above range in the last 60 days. At that time, all I have to do is click send a message. And I can send a message, say, hey guys, your sugars are high, give me a call. You can also use canned messages, which are over on the right. Great job testing. Call our office. We know it's hard. Please continue in your efforts. Some kind of encouraging message that really makes a deal.
Gotcha. That's quick.
Yeah. And it's very quick. I'll go back to the dashboard again. And another thing that people like to say, who's actually not testing? So testing frequency. Click on the graph, pulls them out of the database that quickly, send a message to the group, and you can say, hey, remember to test today. Just something like that. And just those little tiny things really, really make a difference. And then the last thing I'll show you is that doing that 20-minute session, I'll find a patient in here. We've got aliases for PHI purposes. So we have Peppermint Patty. I'm going to click on Peppermint Patty. And today's the 3rd. At 9:47 a.m., Peppermint Patty took her blood sugar. It was 104. Mm-hmm. Last couple of days, it didn't take their blood sugar. Well, look back here. We had some high results. Uh-huh. So it's filling out her logbook automatically, which is great. The doctor doesn't even want to look at the logbook. The doctor wants to look at a scatter plot chart. So quickly, you can do a quick scatter plot and quickly see how much they're in range, how much they're out of range. And a key thing is you can click over or highlight over each data point that tells you the exact number and the real date and time.
Yep.
Now that's important because since it's cellular, you're always going to get the real date and time. Mm-hmm. The meters don't do that unless you manually configure them. So one of the first things that clinicians train their patients on is how to set the date and time on the meter. And when it's daylight saving time, how to make changes, or if the time gets off. With this meter, you don't do anything like that. It's automatically set, you know, just like your cell phone is set.
Yeah.
And you can set the ranges. You know, if you've got a young patient, you might set their lows at 70 and their highs at 130. If somebody, you know, just got diabetes at age 75, you might give them a little leeway and say, you know, lows at 80 and high, as long as you're under 200, you're okay. And then if you notice down the bottom right-hand corner, we've got that clock ticking that we can report how many times or how many patients have we looked at over that 20-minute threshold and report on that and be able to bill CMS accordingly. And there's a few more things I could show you, but in a nutshell, the patient does their test. The provider gets the data, and then they can make recommendations with meds accordingly.
Yeah, in summary, what I'm seeing is, hey, it's pretty straightforward. It's pretty easy to use. It's a win-win for the provider and the patient. The cost seems to be pretty inexpensive. It's HIPAA secure. It's real time, meaning everything is logged real time.
How do you lose?
It looks quite impressive. This has been a good demo.
Well, good. I'm thrilled about it. I think it's the easiest solution. The less you can have the patient doing and just doing the regular routine, the better. That's why this works so well. It's just a great solution. And I guess our largest customers are other RPM platforms, that do blood pressure, weight scales, and everything else. But this is a great way to get started, run a pilot test, with 5 or 10 patients, get the results, and then figure out how you're going to scale after that. And that's where Steve and I, we excel in that area.
You've seen this whole thing evolve, this telehealth world. Where do you see it going? And I guess let me just throw about several questions under one umbrella in wrapping up here. Where do you see this telehealth thing going? Where do you see you guys fitting in? What's your take?
I'll speak to that for 30 seconds, and Steve's got more experience than me, but me being in technology, I worked with financial industries, I worked with manufacturing, I worked with other industries before I got into healthcare 12 or 15 years ago. I assumed, like you, hey, the technology's there, the outcomes are there, this is going to be saturated in 5 years. We're still talking about it today, and it's very, very new.
Exactly.
So I don't understand that because it's easy, but it's workflow is the biggest problem. And again, I've got an endocrinologist practice that their biggest challenge is we've got to hire other CDEs. We've got to get more staff to be able to do this. But they want to be center of excellence in diabetes. They're just trying to figure out how to do that. So the larger the entity, the larger the hospital chain, the longer it takes to get anything done. And Steve, you got any comments?
Well, yeah, just been doing this. You say, you look at telehealth, you think it should be everywhere. And that's just not the case. The good news is the technology is getting easier and cheaper. The understanding of it is getting better. And it is the future, virtual care. I think it'll just keep growing, but it is the complication of our overall healthcare system that you've got thousands of payers and tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of providers and millions of patients. And to be honest, they all have little different workflows. So the fragmentation of our industry is the single biggest challenge. Probably the most exciting thing is that Medicare has, after all this time, realized that remote patient monitoring has a real value. Getting real data in real time has tremendous upside, probably more so than video consults, because video consults without data is really been the challenge from, a lot of the payer groups that just say, well, those are just, you can't do anything clinically without data. So I think that telehealth is going to explode as an afterthought of remote monitoring, because again, remote monitoring is engaging an individual patient in an ongoing basis with their specific condition with real data that's actionable. So I think the future is bright for remote monitoring, which is going to just expand the use of telehealth in general.
Well, thank you. That was good stuff, Steve. And Jim, I think in conclusion, I would just like to say thank you guys for joining. Keep up the good work. I look forward to hearing more about your successes moving forward.
You're going to be at the Charlotte event coming up
soon?
Yes. We'll actually have a booth there, so make sure to come by and see me.